Just now, in previous talk, we had talked about the different associated mental factors with different types of consciousness. Is it difficult, for example, for consciousness rooted in greed to arise? So there are 19. And for consciousness rooted in delusion, there are 15. And each one perform its own functions to help consciousness in the act of cognition. Is it difficult to know how many mental factors arise and to understand their function? Is it difficult? Huh? Very difficult. Huh? That's why Venerable Nagasena, Arahan, told King Mininda, he said, a difficult thing, O King, has been done by Blessed One. What is that? Was the defining of the immaterial state of consciousness and its concomitants, mental factors, which occur with a single object. For example, just now, taste, which occur taking a single object. And which the Blessed One declared thus, this is contact. This feeling, this perception, this volition, this greed, this wrong view. In Mininda 87, then he gives a simile. Just like a man in a boat, he takes some water, from the ocean and drink. To know whether this water comes from Ganges River or another river or the come from the west, is it difficult? Very difficult. But the more difficult is to define this immaterial state of consciousness and its concomitant. To say that this contact, this feeling, this volition, and define its function. Even more difficult than to know this water comes from which river. But very amazingly, the meditator in Pa'au, I'm not advertising Pa'au, please don't misunderstand me. The meditator in Pa'au, they can penetrate into this consciousness and associated mental factors. And also they can see, they can experience, they can see the characteristic function, manifestation and proximate cause of each mental factors. Why they can penetrate? Because they emphasize a lot on concentration. The Buddha say, one is concentrated. Anybody who has concentration, or one who is concentrated, see things as they really are. So even though it's profound difficult, but it can be realized. If it cannot be realized, why Buddha teach? Buddha teach something that should be able to realize. If cannot be realized, Buddha will never teach. Now we come to 25 beautiful factors. 19 are beautiful universes. Now let's read together. Said, mindfulness, shame of wrongdoing, fear of wrongdoing, non-greed, non-hatred, neutrality of mind, tranquility of mental body, tranquility of consciousness. Tranquility of mental body, tranquility of consciousness. Okay? Lightness of mental body, lightness of consciousness. Malleability of mental body, malleability of consciousness. Wildiness of mental body, wildiness of consciousness. Proficiency of mental body, proficiency of consciousness. Rectitude of mental body, rectitude of consciousness. So number one is faith, sadha. The characteristic of faith is trusting. The function to clarify as the water clearing gem causes muddy water to become clear. So when you have doubt, your mind become clouded. Clouded. At that time, if you have faith, all this cloudiness or the muddy water will become clear again. Thus, the function of faith is to clarify the defilement. A manifestation as non-fogginess, the mind become clear. If you have faith, the mind will become clear. The removal of the mind's impurity, such as doubt. The proximate cause for faith is the eight objects to place faith in, or the hearing of the good Dhamma. What are the eight objects to place faith? Number one is Buddha. Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha, and three trainings. Sila, Samadhi, Panya. Morality, concentration, and wisdom training. Dependent origination is also one of the subjects for you to place faith. And the past five aggregates. Future five aggregates. And the past and future five aggregates. These are the eight objects for you to place faith in. The next one, mindfulness, sati. The characteristic of mindfulness is not floating away from the object. It's not floating away, but sinking into the object. If you practice anapanasati, for example, mindfulness of breathing, your mind does not just superficially concentrate on the breath. If you just superficially aware of the breath, this is not called mindfulness. The mindfulness sinks into the bottom. Just like when you throw a stone into the water, the stone sinks directly into the bottom. This is called mindfulness. The function is not forgetfulness. You do not forget the breath. Sometimes when you meditate, although the teacher asks you to concentrate on the breath, but you forget the object. So the mind wanders off. At the time, we say that you are not mindful because you forget the object. So the function of mindfulness is not forgetfulness, not forget the object. A manifestation as confronting an object or guardianship of mind and object. The sati, the mindfulness, guard the mind so that the defilements cannot enter to the sixth sense door. Just like Mahathera, Tisa Mahathera. Tisa Mahathera used to contemplate skeleton meditation. This is his usual contemplation. One day when he went out, on the way he met a beautiful lady. This beautiful lady just quarreled with her husband and left her house. So when this beautiful lady met with this Mahatisa, Mahatisa Thera, then she laughed. She laughed very loudly. So at that time, Mahathera, because he is all the time he was contemplating skeleton meditation. So, but hearing the sound, he looked up and saw her set of teeth. Her set of teeth. So he quickly skeleton. Because of the mindfulness, it's always present in his mind. He does not forget his meditation subject. So he contemplated a skeleton. He did not see the beautiful lady. He just see the, because tea is one part of skeleton. So he concentrated skeleton externally, then come back to his own body internally. From that, then he proceed to vipassana. He contemplate anicca, dukkha, anatta of the mind and matter. Then he become arahant. Very easy, eh? So at that time, this lady's husband followed after this lady. And the husband met with Mahatisa Thera. Then the husband asked him, did you see a beautiful lady pass by? Then Mahatisa said, I did not see any beautiful lady. I only see a skeleton pass by. He did not tell lies. What he see is just a skeleton. That's why mindfulness guard the mind so that the kilesa cannot enter into one's mind through the sixth sense door. And the proximate cause Also mindfulness is the four foundation of mindfulness. Kaya nupassana, satipatthana, vedana nupassana, satipatthana, citta nupassana, satipatthana, and dhamma nupassana, satipatthana. The four foundation of mindfulness. There is body contemplation, feeling contemplation, mind contemplation, and dhamma objects. The next one, shame. The characteristic of shame is disgust at evil. Function, not doing evil. Manifestation, as a shrinking away from the evil. The proximate cause, respect for oneself. Just opposite, opposite to that shamelessness. The proximate cause is respect for oneself. After a person reflect one's birth, I come from the good birth, so I should not do evil. Or you reflect your education, I'm highly educated people, I should not do evil. Or you reflect your social status. For example, if you reflect your social status, then you say that I cannot be drunkard in the public. So after reflect your birth, your education, your social status, then you have respect for oneself. Then you shrink away from the evil. This is called shame, hiri. The next one, fear of wrongdoing. Characteristic is dread of evil. Function, not doing evil. The manifestation as a shrinking away from the evil. And proximate cause, respect for others. There's a simile to describe shame and fear of wrongdoing. Suppose there's an iron rod. One is heated with fire. Another one is heated. Another one is smeared with feces, excrement. One will not touch the end heated with fire. Why? Because of fear of being burned. So this is same like fear of wrongdoing, fear of the consequences of wrongdoing. Another one will not touch the end smeared with feces. Why? Because of shame, shame of wrongdoing. Get himself dirty. So this is equal to shame. Equal to shame. And these two are guardian of the world. The Lord Buddha say, fear of wrongdoing and shame of wrongdoing. These two are guardian of the world. It protects the world to become immoral. And these two are the noble treasures of Sotapanna. Only Sotapanna has this stable or firm fear of wrongdoing and shame of wrongdoing. The next one, non-greed, aloba. The characteristic of non-greed is the mind's lack of desire for the object or non-adherence to the object. Like a drop of water that runs off a lotus leaf without adhering to it. And the function, not to lay hold, like a liberated bhikkhu. The manifestation is detachment, like a man who has fallen into filth without desire for it. The proximate cause is wise attention. So non-greed. Forgiving is also a type of non-greed. Not only absence of hatred. Non-greed. Non-greed, not only absence of greed, but the positive states like generosity is also including in a non-greed. The renunciation, Buddha, during a Bodhisattva's time, many times when Bodhisattva saw a white hair in his head, he will immediately renounce his kingdom and become an ascetic. So his non-greed nature is very clear in Bodhisattva's mind. I think we have seen many hundreds white hair. But we still cannot renounce the world. Not even then. Some people quickly dye the hair. change back to the black one. So because our attachment is strong. Our attachment to the beauty, our attachment to the sensual pleasures are very strong, so we cannot renounce. So the ability to renounce worldly life, family, and the five courts of sensual pleasures are also non-greed. The next one, non-hatred. The characteristic of non-hatred is lack of ferocity, of non-opposing, like a gentle, good friend. The function, to remove annoyance or to remove the fever of mind as sandalwood does. The manifestation is agreeableness like the full moon. Loving kindness, forgiveness are positive mental state of or manifestation of the non-greed. Loving kindness or forgiveness are also under non-greed. The story of the novice, the Samaria elder Tisa, this story I love very much. The elder Tisa showed the beauty of non-greed. This elder Tisa, this once 7 years boy, 7 years boy who served elder Tisa, who served one monk. After that, this seven years old boy, he want to ordain as a Samanera novice. So the elder Tisa ordained him. In the Theravada country, when you get ordained, the monk ordain you, they will recite 32 parts of the body. Head hair, body hair, nail, teeth, skin, and so on. So the moment elder Tisa's knife touched his head, he became arahant. Very easy. We tried so hard also, not even sotapan. Okay. So he became arahant. And after that, this 7 years, Samanera followed his teacher to visit the teacher's teacher. So on the way, they rest in the rest house. Because there's not enough room there, so two of them sleep in one room. According to the Vinaya, the rules of monks, the Samanera cannot sleep more than 3 nights with the monk, with the bhikkhu. So after 3 days, this Samanera realized he cannot sleep with his teacher. If not, his teacher will break his Vinaya. So he dare not to sleep. He meditate the whole night. If you do not lie down, then you can remain in the room. So he did not sleep. He meditated the whole night. And this monk also realized, I must ask this Samanera to go out. If not, I will break my Vinaya. So in order to ask him to go out, he take a fan, and throw, because a fan very light, throw into the Samanera. But unfortunately, the handle of the fan struck Samanera's eye, because Samanera is sitting. The teacher did not realize. So the handle of the fan struck his eyes. Immediately, he became blind. Although he became blind, but he never complained to his teacher. My eye is blind because of you. No, he never tell that. He just covered one of his eyes and go out, and went out. And tomorrow morning, he still performed his duty towards his teacher. So the teacher realized, when he came forward to his teacher, and his teacher asked him, why you cover one of your eyes? That Samanera had to tell him the truth. So when the Samanera told him the truth, the teacher feel remorse, so much remorse. So he quickly bowed down as a monk, and bowed down to the 7 years Samanera and asked for forgiveness. And the answer given by this Samanera is excellent. Then he said, this Samanera, 7 years Samanera said, oh, Venerable Sir, in this case, neither you nor me should be blamed. The round of rebirth itself should be blamed in this case. We never say like that. When something happened to us, we never say like that. It's because of you I'm hurt. We always pointing our finger to another person. We never say, I think none of us say, the round of rebirth is to be blamed. so excellent, excellent. So the Buddha Samarira say the round of rebirth itself is to be blamed. So this showed that the beauty of non-greed. He has no greed at all towards his teacher. But you may think that, of course, Arahant has no greed. Arahant has no hatred. You may argue, Arahant has no hatred, so it's not surprise. Okay, I will give you another example to surprise you. Patience is also positive mental state of non-hatred. Patience. Just now we say that forgiveness is a mental state. It's a positive mental state of non-hatred. Now patience is also the mental state of non-hatred. Our Bodhisattva, Bodhisattva during one of his life, he was reborn as great monkey in the forest. So one day, there's one Brahmin lost his way in the jungle and fell down in a big hole. He cannot climb up because the hole is very deep. So at that time, the monkey was around him. So the monkey, this Bodhisattva, wanted to save him. So this monkey, first he tested his energy first, whether he was able to carry him out or not, using his wisdom. So after he feels that he can carry this Brahmin out of that big hole, then he jumped down to the hole and carry the Brahmin on his shoulder and jump out. For a monkey to carry a man is very tired. So after he carried out this Brahmin, he feel exhausted and he fell asleep. And this poor Brahmin, he has no gratitude toward this monkey. When he say this monkey fell asleep, he think of eating his flesh. Eating this monkey's flesh. So he used a big stone, struck this monkey's head. And this monkey, because of pain, he woke up. And the bird shit from his head. Then he quickly jumped to another tree. If not, the Brahmin might kill him. Okay, now suppose you were the monkey. What will you do? What will you do? You learn very fast. But that's not very good yet. What will you do? What will you do?
What will I do?
If you were the monkey.
What will I do? I'm not the monkey, so I can't think about it.
I think
monkey will natural reaction, either if let's say he can win the battle, he will fight with the guy. If he cannot win the battle, run first.
That's okay. Okay, that's natural reaction. That's why you are not Bodhisattva. We will go away. You know, I sacrifice myself to save you. How can you be so ingratitude to kill me? So our natural reaction will go away. But this monkey is Bodhisattva. It just makes the difference. So this monkey never have any hatred toward this Brahmin. Not only that, he still worry that, this Brahmin, because he lost his way in the jungle, he might not be able to go out. I must help him to go out. He never think of his own suffering inflicted by this Brahmin, and yet he still remember how to help him. This is the strength of Bodhisattva. That's why we are not Bodhisattva. So he asked this Brahmin to follow the drop of the blood he shed from his head. Then the Brahmin followed the drop of the blood the monkey shed and go out to the forest. So this also the patience of the monkey and the forgiveness of the monkey. All these are manifestation of non hatred. The next one, neutrality of mind. Tatra Majjhatata. Majjhatata is keeping in the middle. Tatra means in those mental concomitants. So keeping in the middle in those mental concomitant. The characteristic is keeping the mind and associated mental factor evenly so that they can perform their function equally. The function is to prevent excess and deficiency. A manifestation as neutrality, like a driver who looks with equanimity on horses progressing evenly, neither excessive nor deficiency. This neutrality of mind, when it develops, it becomes upekha bhavana, become one of the four Brahma vihara. One of the four Brahma. There are four Brahma vihara: metta, loving kindness; mudita, appreciative joy; karuna, compassion; and upekha. This is upekha. So when one develops neutrality of mind towards a highest degree, this neutrality of mind becomes upekha. And this upekha is not feeling. It's not feeling. It's a sankhara formation. It's a formation aggregate, not feeling aggregate. And this, how to develop this upekha bhavana, upekha meditation. The meditator, in order to develop this upekha meditation, one has to start with either loving kindness first, or appreciative joy, or karuna. These three only can, you can reach this, you can reach fourth. Let's say now we have fifth jhana. According to Abhidhamma, there are fifth jhana. According to Sutta, there are four jhana. Now we are talking about Abhidhamma. So a meditator develop, let's say, loving kindness up to the fourth jhana. From fourth jhana, he develop upekha bhavana, equanimity meditation. Then he should reflect. No matter how I send you loving kindness, I wish you to be well and happy, but you are subject to your karma. You are the owner of your karma. So even though I wish you well, but you cannot be well because you are the owner of your own karma. So in order to develop this upekha bhavana, you should reflect. All beings have karma as their own heritage. That you develop the impartiality of mind towards all beings. Then from that, you directly enter into fifth jhana. You cannot go through first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana. Why? You have to directly go into fifth jhana. Why you cannot go into first, second, third, and fourth jhana? Why? Because first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana is accompanied by joy. Yes, very good. Pity and happiness. But now equanimity, bhavana, accompanied by equanimity. So you cannot attain first jhana, second, third, fourth through upekha bhavana. You have to directly go into fifth jhana. And among the ten paramis, Bodhisattva had to practice ten paramis. Upekha parami, equanimity parami is the highest. It's the highest because Bodhisattva has to develop impartiality towards those he disrespect him or those he respect him. His mind is unmoved. Whether you respect me or not, his mind is unmoved. So it's the highest. Among ten, upekha parami is the highest. During one of his lifetime, he practiced this equanimity parami. He was born in a very wealthy family. But since he was a bodhisattva, so he has no attachment to all these sensual pleasures. So he wanted to renounce. But he said, if I renounce as a hermit, more people will respect me. Because I'm so rich and yet I want to renounce. So I gain more respect from others. So I should not renounce as a hermit. So he renounced as an ordinary being. So he begged food. because he did not renounce as a hermit, so people laughed at him. Maybe you are lazy, you don't want to work, you barefoot because you are not hermit. So people laughed at him. And he remained unmoved because he's practicing equanimity parami. So he's unmoved. Sometimes when he go to somewhere, if more people laugh at him and throw something to him, show disrespect to him, then he will stay that place even longer to test his equanimity parami. So this is how he developed equanimity, neutrality of mind. Another six pairs are tranquility of mental body and tranquility of consciousness. Here in Pali, you can see kaya pasadi. Kaya usually we use as a physical, but here actually kaya means group. So this tranquility of mental body and tranquility of consciousness oppose restlessness and worry. So when the mind is restless and worry, then your mind is not tranquil. And this tranquility of mental body and consciousness, like a cool shade of a tree, to a person affected by the sun's heat. The next one, lightness of mental body and lightness of consciousness. This one opposes sloth and torpor. The sloth and torpor make your mind heavy. So at that time, you don't have this lightness of consciousness and lightness of mental body. And the next one, malleability of mental body and malleability of consciousness. This malleability equal to softness, the softness of consciousness and softness of mental body. It opposes wrong view and conceit. When your mind is overwhelmed with wrong view and conceit, your mind becomes rigid. When your mind becomes rigid, there's no softness in the mind. Okay. The next one is readiness. Readiness means workable. Your mind is workable, like a goal heated by fire, easy to manage. And this also opposed, these two opposed to all remaining hindrances. The next one, proficiency of mental body and consciousness. Here is skillfulness. Skillfulness of citta and citta-sika opposed to lack of faith. And the last one, rectitude. Opposed crookedness of the mind and mental factors, citta and citta-sika. So the six pairs must arise together. So these are the 19 beautiful universes. They must arise with all types of consciousness. For instance, when you perform a generosity, when you do dana, these 16 beautiful universes must arise in your mental stream. Or now you are listening to my Dharma talk. So these 16 must arise in your mental stream. Or whether you are sharing merit with others, serving your parents, giving your service to the monastery and so on. All these 19 beautiful universes must arise together when you are doing good deeds. We take a break.